across the board. We're live on the network. We're live on Rumble. We're live on DirecTV and Dish Network. Want to welcome all of our BEK News Network followers and viewers. All of our X viewers and subscribers. If you have not subscribed to me on X, the Stu Peters Network is at Stu Peters Net. Of course, I am at Real Stu Peters. Lucas Gauge is in the green room. We're going to be having a live and interactive Q&A after an extremely important conversation that I wanted to have live with Lucas Gauge. And the reason why it was important to me to do this live is because there is a tremendous amount of difference in where the discourse is today versus where it was just a short time ago. And I have faced a lot of internal pressure at this network from advertisers to go more lukewarm on the rhetoric, to stop noticing quite so much. And I've been faced with the difficult set of circumstances that most people would struggle with to decide whether or not to use this network to secure my financial future and that financial future for my children, to secure my own well-being, or to do what most people would consider to be irresponsible financial suicide and to continue noticing and to continue broadcasting the truth, to continue to shine a big bright light onto what I believe to be one of the most, if not the most, imminent threat that's facing our country, our individual liberties, our freedom, humanity, our children. And for me, it was not a difficult decision. And as a matter of fact, I had one of these conversations this morning with somebody who said, if you could just calm down just a little bit. And my response was, if they could just stop trying to have sex with my kids, maybe we could just tone down the rhetoric just a little bit. That would be a great place to start. And so with that, I just want you all to know that you have my unrelenting commitment to continue to combat face-to-face the enemy to our children, the enemy to our country, the enemy to our future, and the generations that follow our children. And that's how serious, that's how imminent I consider this threat to be. And Lucas Gauge, who will join us shortly, feels the same way. And so, as a lot of you know, at the start of this week, we marked the Holocaust Remembrance Day. And that's the day that the world is supposed to mark the 1945 liberation of Auschwitz by Soviet forces, an army of Jewish Bolsheviks that raped its way across Europe and then helped its Jewish brethren craft this victimhood narrative that rings to this day, which is exactly what has people calling me and saying the things that they're saying or trying to somehow influence the network or the rhetoric of myself or my peers or who I platform in order to just walk away from that and focus maybe on something else. Maybe the Stu Peters Network needs a rebrand. Maybe it just needs a refresh. You were killing it during COVID. You were the king. Everybody tuned into Stu Peters. That was your thing. Just back off of these Jews. Don't say that word. Try not to make it all-encompassing. Be more Jesus-like. Be more loving. Have less hate in your heart. You know, we hear absolutely nothing about the Holodomor, in which Jewish Bolshevik communists starved and slaughtered millions of Christians to death. But every single year, we're supposed to just observe this day of remembrance for the Holocaust. It's become this sort of sick religious sacrament. And on top of that, we hear about it every single day. It's talked about ad nauseum, day after day, year after year, old, recycled, propaganda. That's what it is. It's propaganda. It's fake. And it's all dredged back up and shoved in our faces, and we're supposed to take it. We're supposed to lap it up. Don't question any of it. But you see, where the white pill lies here is that as time has gone on and as people have realized how self-serving the whole Holocaust story is for the people that are telling it, they have started asking questions. Because there are some massive historical inconsistencies and, of course, outright lies when it comes to that event, when it comes to the Holocaust, especially as it relates to Auschwitz, the so-called death camp that we're told was the epicenter of all of this. And we've mentioned it here before. We have covered it over and over again. And many people have realized, thanks to publicity and publicly available information, that at Auschwitz, the so-called gas chamber and crematoriums are fake. They were put there after the war by the Soviets, supposedly a reproduction for demonstration purposes, so they could really drive home their point that the Germans were the scariest and the meanest and most genocidal people in world history and had to be destroyed along with the rest of Western civilization. So we're going to seek out anything that represents Western values or Christian values. We're going to seek out everything that has any semblance of normalcy. And we're going to put our target on it, and we're going to destroy it. And it's not just the gas chambers and the crematoriums that are completely fake. It's more like an emotional amusement park, actually, Auschwitz, for gullible retards than it is a legitimate historical site. Even the footage from Auschwitz is totally fake. Anne Frank's sister admitted that on live TV. She said that after the war, for obvious propaganda purposes, the Soviets rounded a bunch of people up, put them in prisoner costumes, and told them to go walk around. Yeah, just walk over there by all of these barbed wire fences and look sad. And then they took pictures of them, and then they filmed them. And then they told the world that it was footage from the liberation at Auschwitz. None of this is believable. Take a look.
And something I wanted to point out to you, you know, there are many pictures about the Russian liberating Auschwitz, and there's never any snow, and the snow was honestly that high. And so I have some connection with the Russian embassy, and I was there once, and I said, something puzzles me. Those photos are fakes because there's no snow. And they said, well, yes, they are not fakes, but when the army came, they didn't have cameras, they didn't photograph. So only much later, when they realized we should have pictures of it, they took pictures like you see now. But this is definitely not in Auschwitz and not the liberation of Auschwitz. There were not that many people with clothes and children and no snow.
Right. Fascinating.
So I think historically we should point this out.
Yeah, no snow at all. I mean, the entire Auschwitz story is nothing more than communist propaganda. It's a fairy tale, just like the rest of the Holocaust. Just like the stories of American troops finding lampshades and bars of soap made out of dead Jews. Yet those stories were fake. It never happened. 6 million people didn't die. Not in German concentration camps or death camps. Or in some kind of a Holocaust. And this isn't a conspiracy theory, and this isn't Holocaust denial. This is just a fact. Even the Holocaust lobby admits it. 6 million people didn't die because that number hinges on Auschwitz being an orgy of death to the likes of which the world has never seen, a place where millions of people, one after another, 1,000 by 1,000, were tossed into a gas chamber with a wooden door and murdered and then burnt into oblivion with the help of a few ovens. It's physically, mathematically, scientifically impossible. But anyone with any critical thinking ability that knows this isn't allowed to question it. And anybody with any critical thinking and ability knows that this just isn't possible, including the Jews. And years ago, they had to tamp down on their numbers because things were getting a little out of hand. Yet they were getting just a little bit too unbelievable. So while until the 1980s and 90s, it was claimed that 4 million people died at Auschwitz, making up the bulk of the 6 million Jews that were killed by the Nazis, it was eventually admitted that this number was inaccurate, that this number was fake. And now they claim that just over 1 million people died there. They've even had to update the Auschwitz memorial to reflect this. And it's documented at Auschwitz.org, the official Auschwitz website, which says that, quote, "It was accepted for many years after the war that about 4 million prisoners died in Auschwitz concentration camp. That figure, which originated with the findings of the Soviet Commission investigating Nazi crimes, was based on accounts by former prisoners, fragmentary records, and crime scene investigation at the site." In 1992, Dr. Piper, director of the Historical Research Department at the Auschwitz-Birkenau State Museum, published the book, How Many People Perished at Auschwitz Concentration Camp, in which he stated that at least 1.3 million people were deported to the camp and that about 200,000 of them were transferred to camps in the depths of the Third Reich, with the remaining 1.1 million or more dying in Auschwitz. Piper's book stirred up enormous emotions. End quote. Well, of course it stirred up enormous emotions. It blew the lid off of one of the biggest, most profitable, most beneficial lies in human history. How many hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of Jews around the world have lapped up reparations checks from Germany by falsely claiming to be Auschwitz survivors? Or the children and relatives of Auschwitz victims who were never there. Last year alone, in 2024, Germany paid over $1.4 billion, with a B, worth of reparations to so-called Holocaust survivors. How many of them are just lying about ever being at Auschwitz? Or having been in any of these camps, for that matter? We don't have an exact number on that, of course, but the answer is a lot. Because for decades now, Jews have filed fake Holocaust reparations claims to make a profit on the backs of a bunch of white, guilt-ridden, brainwashed Germans, and they've made millions of dollars doing it. As recently as 2010, an entire group of these Holocaust fraudsters was busted stealing more than $50 million worth of reparation payments. It's a racket. And deep down, everybody knows it. And they've known it for a long time. Long enough that a few decades ago on an episode of Montel Williams, a black man in overalls called the entire scheme out. He said what everyone who spends any amount of time looking into the figures figures out real quick. And that's that the Holocaust is a scam. It's a fraud. It's fake. And Jews have been able to make a ton of money off of it. Watch this black guy on the Holocaust.
I am a living proof of this. I was age of 13 when they took me to Auschwitz with my family. I'm the only one who survived, and I was not too far from the gas chambers. And we knew exactly where then they brought in Jews, and they burned them. We smelled. We breathed that air. We smelled that air, and we knew. We used to say to each other, you see where we are burning the Jews? I was not too far from the crematoriums.
When it happened?
When it happens, and I was 13 years of age. At that time, my whole family is wiped out.
Yes, sir.
Yes, the Holocaust is big business because Germany so far has given the Jews, I think, at least $200 billion. So it's big business, and some of you are still getting $1,000 a month. And a lot of people don't know this. And then people don't realize who brought the slaves to America. They were Jewish ships.
Wait. We can't have you talking like that. Whoa, Montel says. Whoa, hold on. It was like Marco Rubio's reaction when Victoria Nuland, a Jew, started spilling all of the beans about the Jewish, American taxpayer-funded, Pentagon-operated, CIA-overseen Level 4 bioweapons labs that are in the fake construct country called Ukraine, established in 1991, which is a completely different story that also relates back to the same control and power gobbling up that these very Jews are doing to this day. But I digress. Back to Montel, it's pretty obvious that nobody is buying this, and they haven't been for a long time. Even a black guy in coveralls gets it. The bottom line is the Holocaust is a Jewish fantasy lie that has been used to steal land and start wars and subjugate the entire world, especially the Christian world. And of course, who could ever forget about the Palestinians? I listened to some stories from Ken O'Keefe when he was here in this studio and we were filming for Occupied. I've listened to stories from Max Egan about these Palestinians and their suffering and how long this has been going on. Jews have used this Holocaust narrative to slaughter generations of people. And they're going to continue doing it for as long as they possibly can. But this year, Holocaust Remembrance Day just didn't seem to get the fanfare that it has over the decades past. Yeah, of course, you see these sold-out AIPAC-paid politicians making their obligatory posts. The ADL had a few things to say, as usual. But as far as the general population goes, nobody cares. You notice that? Nobody cares. Because they're tired of the bullshit. They're tired of hearing about it. And because the first time since the end of World War II, we're starting to see people en masse start asking questions about what really happened. People are starting to notice. And we're not going to take our foot off the gas. As much as you would love us to, and as much as you have tried, I won't. Lucas Gage is another one. A man, by the way, who has noticed so much that legions of Jews have tried to have him silenced, thrown in jail, even killed. We're honored to have you with us, Lucas Gage, joining us now on the network. Holocaust Remembrance Day, and it's all fake. What's your level of optimism as the information war really ticks up here? And there are very few that are standing on an island taking all of the arrows and making the sacrifice to smash the Overton window.
Well, when we had Free Speech Index for like 1 year, we did a lot of damage, Stu. And I've been saying this over and over every time I do an interview. I've been doing this since 2012, so it's about 13 years. And in the last 2 years, I've seen more people wake up in the last 11 years combined. Of all the activism and all the interactions I've had with people in general. And so, like you see, this has been going on for a long time. People have been questioning it, like you mentioned in Montel Williams. There was also another guest on that show who got up and said, what about my people, the Ukrainians? He brought up the Holodomor. So I don't know if you have that clip, but that person came up and said the same thing as you were saying earlier, that no one talks about the Holodomor. And so this has been a very long process. A lot of people have been, you know, for example, Urs Sundell or even Germán Rudolph, who wrote the Holocaust Encyclopedia, went to jail several times. I mean, we have Ursula Haberbach, who recently passed away, a German grandmother who went back and forth in and out of jail in Germany because she said, well, where's the killing fields? Where are these people? Where are their bodies? She had more balls than most people today as an old lady, and she passed away recently. So rest in peace. But you see, this is something that once the cat's out of the bag, it's going to keep going. You know, it has rabies, it's biting everyone, and more people are learning about it, especially when they're seeing a live-streamed genocide in Gaza. And wait, these people are the ones who survived the Holocaust. Why would they do this to the Gazans? Well, maybe something like that never really happened to them. Now, that's not to say Jews weren't rounded up and put in work camps, and perhaps some of them died from typhus and the bombings the Allies all the bombs that they dropped on the trains and cutting off medical supplies. People were starving. I mean, why are all the Jews in these pictures skeletons? Because they're not eating. Why are they not eating? Because supplies have been cut off. So a lot of them died from starvation and typhus. But you don't know that. You know, Stu, when I was in fourth grade, I remember going to Manhattan. We went to the Holocaust Remembrance Museum there. Why do they go take us fourth graders there? Because we're young. We wouldn't question what's going on. I remember seeing the bulldozers push people into the ditches. I only learned later that they're actually POWs and people the British are doing. It's not even the Germans. You don't know these facts, but you go, oh my God, this is terrible. And it becomes part of your life and you never think of it again. And if you ever question it later in life, you're a demon. You're a bad person. You're not someone who's like, I'm curious. No, you're actually immoral. You don't belong in this society. In fact, you don't deserve a job. You don't deserve a voice for questioning this. So the Holocaust is actually a new religion. They call it Holocaustianity. You cannot blaspheme the Holocaust. You must believe in the 6 million figure, which, by the way, is rounded up because even experts will say it's really 5.1 to 5.8, and they just rounded it up to 6 million.
This is actually part of the Noahide laws, which I have been researching after hearing so much about. And at first glance, when people look into this, the Noahide laws, they would say, oh, well, that sounds pretty noble. That sounds pretty reasonable. That sounds very Christ-like. That sounds very similar to the Ten Commandments that you find in the Bible. And the Noahide laws are as follows. There are seven of them. No idolatry, no blasphemy, no murder, no sexual immorality, no theft, no eating flesh from a living animal, and establish courts of justice. So, of course, on its face, all of that sounds great. Sources say that six of the seven Noahide laws are found in the book of Genesis. So in the Old Testament, of course, in the Bible, for all of you Protestant, evangelical, Schofield, indoctrinated, lukewarm Christians, but the seventh Noahide law, which established courts of justice, was added through the Talmud. Talmud being well over 10,000 pages, but I encourage people to go and look into specific parts of the Talmud, which JQ Radio 24/7 does Talmud Talk. It's a great segment for most of you. Make sure that you're hanging out in that space. But the modern definitions and understanding of the laws, they don't come from Genesis, they come from the Talmud. Now, this is a bold statement, but I believe that Noahide laws will execute Christians because anyone accused of practicing blasphemy or worshiping a false idol is put to death. And who do they consider to be a false idol? Jesus Christ. And so anybody who follows him is practicing blasphemy and is worshiping a false idol, and they believe that these people should be put to death. So what you're saying is absolutely true, and they publish these things broadly and in the wide open and boldly, and they don't hide it, and they're not ashamed of it. So why is it that people are unwilling to accept it as truth?
Well, there's a one. I don't know if you saw that one clip of that one Israeli telling the Christian, "Like we're supposed to kill you. It's a godly thing to kill you. That we should, once the Sanhedrin is established, we're supposed to execute you." Now, right now, the Jews don't have a Sanhedrin, but when they do establish it, there goes your head as a Christian because you will be decapitated. Specifically, that is your execution for worshiping Christ, which they condemn as an idol or a criminal who did, you know, magic on the Sabbath, whatever they say. And they say he's not. Well, the Talmud isn't talking about. No, they are talking about Jesus Christ burning in a vat of human excrement for going against the sages, because that's what Christ did against the Pharisees. He said, wait a minute, these aren't the laws, these are old. And he was correcting them. And that was a blaspheming right there. So the Christians who are listening to this, you, if the Jews win and they get their global empire, you will be executed. That is the end goal. And so it's not a good thing. And you could play the clip there.
I believe that I have it pulled up here, and we're going to see if we can get it to air.
You have 6 billion idol worshippers who makes God angry every second of their life. Indian, Chinese, Japanese, Tibet, Nepal, Thailand. So many. India alone is 500 million. China is 2 billion. So many, 2 billion Christians, which are idol worshippers. between Chinese, Indian, Hindus, Buddhists, and Christian, at least 6.5 billion people are idol worshippers that, according to the Torah, do not have the right to live. Idol worshipper goy, it's death penalty. Not only Jews. Even a goy who bow down to an idol, who believe in JC, deserve death penalty.
So there it is.
Are you hearing anything?
We can hear you in the spaces. I don't know if you could hear that or not. We'll be right back in there. But there it is, Lucas. I mean, boldly and just right out in the wide open, saying that if you're a Christian, you should be put to death.
Yep. Not just the Christian, any of those religions he mentioned. Buddhism, Hinduism. Hindus have millions of gods. Forget one god. They have millions. So all of this, it's idol worship, and you will be executed once the Sanhedrin is established and Jews have their world domination, because that's their end goal. So, and the reason they don't believe Jesus was the Messiah was because their Mashiach was supposed to come and destroy everybody. An actual warlord that when he spoke, he would eliminate the Jews' enemies. And he was going to be a king with all this, you know, wealth and power. And Christ was the exact opposite. So that's why they condemn him as well. But you see, Stu, this is a thing, right? These are the people who suffered, quote unquote, through this Holocaust. Why would they ever wish such a thing on everyone else? Well, they have this plan here, and it's not really good. They want to Holocaust all of us, but they're playing as the victims who've been Holocaust. And by the way, the reason they have to push this industrial Holocaust compared to Stalin, Stalin killed 60 million, who knows how many, Mao killed 60 whatever million, that's okay because they were shot by bullets. The industrialized Holocaust is that, well, this is the first time people were put on these in gas chambers, like assembly lines, and experimented on. It had to be different, Stu. And I remember Abe Foxman, former head of the ADL, he went to Ukraine and he told one of the people there, he said, look, we don't want you to compare our Holocaust to your Holocaust. Let's not do that. It's dangerous. It's not, you know, let's just come on, back off of that. Because the Jews must have the worst Holocaust ever. And by the way, throughout history, people have been massacred and genocided all throughout time. But the Jews have this special way of doing it. The Germans had the technology, the Zyklon B, the crematoria, all this stuff. And they did it in such a way that it's never been done before. Well, that's what it is, Stu. They have to be special. And their deaths have to be unique. And that no one else has gone through what they've gone through. And therefore, they have the right to do whatever they have to do to defend themselves. Never again means they never want to see white people have control of their own countries. And never again will they go to the gas chamber. And they keep using that. And they use this platitude to do what they do to the Palestinians. They used it to establish Israel. Right? Because, well, now with the Holocaust, guys, you see why we need Israel? And everyone's like, oh, yeah, let's make Israel happen. So this thing is not just a scam in regards to plundering our nations and stealing money from the Swiss and the banks there and all the other things they've done and indoctrinating our children, but also justifying the establishment of Israel. Because if there was no mass murdering Holocaust industrial thing, then really what really happened? It's like anyone else.
I think that's one of the things I was alluding to this phone call that I had this morning, and it just keeps getting brought up in my mind. And it's really, really bothering me in the sense that that's another thing that this person said to me was, you know, if you want to be financially successful at the network, and of course I want to support you in doing that, you have to stop talking about Israel like this, because those who bless Israel will be blessed and those who curse Israel will be cursed. And I said, do you really believe that this is the Israel of the Bible? Do you really believe that biblical prophecy was talking about, you know, a secular homosexual nation state founded arbitrarily on May 14th, 1948 and just plopped geographically on a map in the middle of the Middle East? I mean, is that really the Israel of the, do you really believe that? Is that your pastor that's telling you that? Like, who is that? And then it makes sense to me why platforms like InfoWars are completely sold out, bought off, paid for, compromised, blackmailed, made a deal, whatever it is, scared, cowardly, I don't know, and morphing into like a completely different thing, running away from this thing like it's chasing them and trying to kill them, and it will.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Christian evangelicals, the Christian Zionists with the Scofield Bible, I mean, they're completely brainwashed. These mega churches with these, we got to support Israel and Shekinah. They're bringing up all these Jewish things. And they're basically, and like Joel Osteen is a Jew, by the way. He's one of the most well-known pastors, but he's Jewish. And he's always shilling for Israel. Where are these blessings? I mean, I don't see any. Trans kids, is that a blessing? Open borders, is that a blessing? $33 trillion in debt, is that a blessing? Endless war. I mean, it's just nonstop curses. So that clearly shows.
Yeah, and Joel Osteen isn't the only one. I mean, you have this pastor, Greg Locke, and millions of others like him. Greg Locke stood there and called for the obliteration of Gaza. Turn it to a parking lot. Destroy everything. A population where over 75% of the population under the age of 25 in this very small area, is that what it is? Yes. And over 50% of the population under the age of 15, turn it to a parking lot. And then you listen to rabbis or this Jew that was saying, you know, according to these Noahide laws, that you'll be put to death if you worship Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian, you ought to be put to death. And that's exactly what Greg Locke is saying while he stands in front of a half a dozen stars of Remphan in front of his congregation at his tent church. Yeah, these people deserve to die according to the Noahide laws. How concerned are you about these Noahide laws and them being ushered in under a Trump presidency who has surrounded himself with these people? His whole cabinet, his whole administration is full of either A, Jews, or B, Zionists. Not an overrepresentation of Chinamen or members of the CCP, Alex.
It's the Chacoms. Yeah, you know, it's the Chacoms, too. They're the ones controlling everything. No, it is certainly look, Trump was the guy to usher in the new
world. You can solve it all right now if you just go to alexjonesstar.com, buy some dick pills.
That's right, yeah.
Keep us on the air. Tip of the spear.
All these people, they're clearly, I don't know, maybe Elon paid off his debt, that $1 billion in Sandy Hook or whatever. But yeah, Trump is the guy to move into the New World Order because he has a cult following. People will not question him. He's the chosen one, God Emperor, even though he does everything Israel wanted. I mean, look, Miriam Adelson gave him $100 million. She didn't do that because she has a crush on him. He's going to do exactly what she wants. He's going to appoint exactly what she wants. He's going to do exactly what Israel wants. So Trump is the guy to usher in whatever the hell they want. And you know what? Yeah, everyone's like, oh, look, he stopped foreign aid, except for Israel, Egypt, and Jordan. And the reason why we pay those two countries is to not mess with Israel, right? And so maybe he'll deal with the Ukrainian war or something like that. Oh, he'll get rid of transgenderism out of our military. Get the hell out of our military. Yeah, but what about all the other things? I mean, they'll give us breadcrumbs, too, but they won't touch what the Israelis want. The plan must go on, greater Israel, and it will happen. It will happen because, look, these Palestinians, they don't have an air force. They're fighting. They're doing this, everything they can do, but you just can't defeat a military that has infinite weapons and infinite money pouring in. And it's just going to obliterate these people, and that's what's happening. And now Trump's saying, why don't you guys leave? Why don't you guys go to Jordan? Why don't you? Which is actually part of the plan, is to ethnically cleanse them by moving out of the area. So Eretz Israel is the plan. It's greater Israel. They have a freaking patch on their shoulder that shows that. Yeah. They say, no, we're not expanding. No, that's a conspiracy theory. But the Noahide laws, another thing, they want to usher in this new world religion. So they want to eliminate all other religions, and the Jews would be the nations of priests. And then all us little goy, oh my God, hey, listen, Stu, it's just seven laws, big deal. Yeah, but one of them means you got to get your head cut off if you don't repent and deny Christ or deny other religions that you believe in already. So it's not this peaceful, loving thing. It's Jewish supremacy on a global level, not just Israel. Israel's the headquarters of Jewish supremacy. And they're going to take that Jewish supremacy and spread it all over the world, thanks to our Shabbos Goy traitors like Trump and everyone else who supports that, man.
We are getting waved down over here because we got to get out of here. They have to pay the bills on the network in less than 1 minute. So God bless you. And I will be talking to you, of course, again soon. For those of you who have not yet subscribed to the Stu Peters Network, make your way over to stupeters.com. Just $9 per month. You'll be entered into drawings. Later on, we're going to give away another one of these Blu-rays of Occupied, autographed, a personal handwritten letter of thanks for you. If you subscribe to the network. That's one of the perks. Plus, also tonight, more never-before-seen footage from Occupied, releasing that free for our supporters. I saw a few subscribe during this broadcast. Thank you very much. I got to get out of here.
I'm
message for parents that love their kids and, of course, want to keep them safe and healthy. It's a health product that you can't ignore. Kids Z-Spike gummies from the Zelenko Labs Z-Stack supplement line. Now, these aren't just ordinary supplements. These are your child's shield against upcoming health threats and a recovery mechanism to help dissolve and block spike proteins. Of course, inspired by the legendary Dr. Vladimir Zelenko. Dr. Z didn't just practice medicine. As you well know, he changed the entire game over the pandemic. He provided counsel on the prevention and treatment of COVID-19, the bioweapon, and the removal of the dangerous and deadly spike proteins from the body. His pioneering work lives on in these gummies, crafted to repair and empower your kids' immune systems. Powerful stuff inside of these things, all based on solid research that you can trust by Zelenko Labs. Vitamin C and dandelion root. These help to cleanse and fortify. Of course, there's a whole lot of other things inside of these Z-Spike gummies as well. Pomegranate peel and bromelain arm and defend against these invaders like the spike proteins that are wishing to enter your kid's body and destroy their health. Targeting those tricky spike proteins is difficult, but not if you have the Z-Spike gummies. All natural, zero artificial junk, low in sugar, and a strawberry flavor that your kids will actually want. This is about more than just avoiding colds. This is about giving your kids a proactive protection and repairing them from damage caused during the pandemic. As we know that there's shedding involved, and parents, they didn't leave you out. You can achieve the same goals for your health and body, pairing Dr. Zelenko's hero products, Z-Spike and Z-Detox, for daily support. Rise up and protect your kids with Dr. Zelenko's Kids Z-Spike Gummies, perfect for kids ages 4 and up. Head over to zstacklife.com/SPN and then use the code for 15% off. The code is SPN. Secure your bottles right now. They have subscriptions too. Remember, this isn't just a supplement, it's a shield. It's Dr. Zelenko's legacy. Shield up with Kids Z-Spike Gummies, the smart way to protect and heal our kids. zstacklife.com/SPN. Again, zstacklife.com/SPN. I'm going to ask you for your undivided attention because I'm going to tell you about what could possibly be the most important life-saving supplement that I have ever talked about. It's called Cardio Miracle. Each serving of Cardio Miracle has a combination of over 50 high-quality ingredients, including a huge variety of fruits, vegetables, amino acids, and herbs, all of which come together to promote your body's ability to produce nitric oxide. Nitric oxide is so important for heart health. It helps to relax and dilate your blood vessels, which supports blood flow and circulation. And I love that you don't have to take this giant pill to get all of this nutrition. No, Cardio Miracle comes in a powder formula, so it's really easy to mix all day throughout the day into juice or water and take it at any time. That also helps to support mood regulation because it's a neurotransmitter. It's a neuromodulator in the brain. So it can support the release of serotonin and dopamine, both of which are really important and involved in mood regulation. Cardio Miracle also supports mental clarity, sleep quality, energy levels. It can even help with recovery after exercise. Nitric oxide is essential for so many functions in the body, and Cardio Miracle supports the production of nitric oxide, so you get many benefits from just one supplement. Please go to highpowerheart.com. Again, highpowerheart.com. I'm telling you, this could quite possibly be the most important supplement that I will ever talk about. Cardio Miracle. Go to highpowerheart.com.
Are you using your phone, or is it using you? Rise above mass surveillance and discover a phone that protects your privacy and communications. Above Phone does everything your old phone does, without tracking you, while giving you complete control over your phone and apps. We are better than big tech. It works with any cell service. No forced logins. No advertising or tracking. Download apps privately. Control your phone and its apps with secure hardware. Introducing Above Suite. Includes a VPN, private email and calendar, private chats, video calls, internet phone, and a search engine. Don't worry if you're new. Every phone includes a free 45-minute live call. You also get free email and chat support, free guides and video courses. You have the power.
Rise above with Above Phone.
Above.